Well, let's welcome you back to This Week in the Association. I'm Rob Pinier, joined once again by my good buddy Kevin Lucco. And today we continue our series previewing the American Association season for 2020. And so we welcome the manager of the St. Paul Saints, American Association champion St. Paul Saints, George Samus. George, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. George, let's start with when you hear the news that the season's going to get underway, what was your first reaction to that?
Well, obviously, it's been a long off season, like it always is, but this one was even longer, and it's been a tough it's a tough time for everyone, man. This thing, obviously, the COVID-19 has ruined a lot of things for everybody, and it's just been a terrible time. And but we're lucky, we're fortunate enough to be one of the teams that is playing, and we're excited to be playing, and can't wait to get started here in a few days.
Well, as you reached out to players, kind of talking about getting started, I would assume that they were pretty excited about just getting back on the field as well.
For sure. They were, again, it's been a lengthy process here, and all along you're trying to keep guys updated, and, we really didn't have too many updates. I don't think anybody in any league anywhere around the country knew what was going to happen in any league, and it's just been a different year, and obviously it's a new thing, and nobody knew what was going to happen, and it just dragged on and dragged on and dragged on. And again, it's obviously nobody's fault except for COVID-19. It's COVID-19's fault, and it's brutal for everyone. But we're finally here, and and it's too bad that everybody couldn't play, and it wasn't a regular a regular full 12 team league. It's the way it worked out, and again, it's a great league we have, and we're fortunate to be playing, and, it's weird how it works. So usually when we get here, it's 40, 50 degrees, and now it's 90s, and I think I'd rather take the 40s and 50s because it's been way too hot out here. But, again, we're lucky enough to be out here.
I think we all had a little too much time to sit at home and kind of fatten up over the off season, where the 90s seem a little too warm.
Yeah, it's every year when we get here, we're in hoodies, it's jackets, it's cold, and I think I like that better. Except for that one game where we played Chicago last year when it was 30 degrees and windy and it was miserable. Other than that game, I'll take the 50s over the 90s any day.
Well, as you kind of got your team together for spring training, how have you kind of adjusted procedures for your team and getting your guys together and getting them ready for the season?
Well, obviously it's been it's different because, again, it took a long time for this to develop here, and then it finally did, and a couple guys retired, like Michael Lang, and for personal reasons, he couldn't play, and Dan Modell has a good job making good money, so this came pretty late here, and obviously, we thought our outfield was going to be Dan Modell, Michael Lang, and Max Murphy, and we thought we were all set there. Then this happened, right around the time that it was announced that we were going to play. So obviously, we went from three outfielders down to one pretty quickly, and then we had the dispersal draft. And the dispersal draft, it's a blind draft. You're not allowed to talk to any of the players, and when you're drafting guys, you don't know if you're going to get these guys or not. And we drafted five guys, and a couple of the outfitters we drafted, it just didn't work out. Like Chuck Taylor, for example, is from Texas, and he just wanted to play close to home in Sugarland. And but again, when you don't have a way of knowing and you can't talk to the players, you just take a chance and you hope you get them. And we didn't, and but we did get three pitchers. Two of them will be here two of them are here now. And then one of them will get at the end of July and or early August. And so that's the way it's worked. It's been pretty busy. Like I said, we thought we had our full outfield, but a couple of, retirements and didn't work out in the dispersal draft. So we were scrambling here pretty late here.
Well, speaking of pitchers, I saw via Twitter last night, you got a pretty good pickup with Nick Beldon.
Well, not yet. We don't have him yet. He got in trouble for that. that's a new situation here. That's a different situation here. We're hoping once this becomes official, We're hoping that we can land him, you know, by the end of the week. So
he jumped the gun, is what you're saying.
Well, we haven't signed him or anything, but it's
okay.
It's a different situation here. Major league organizations, they're going to allow some of their players to play indie ball since they're not going to have a season. So it's in the early process of that happening, and we're hoping sometime at the end of the week we'll have him with us.
Well, I'll just say if it happens, he sounds like he's excited to get back.
Yeah, it's good. No, it's good. He did good for us, and again, it's the perfect story of this league. Guys come in, do well, and get an opportunity with the major league organization, and it's a perfect story. So if it works out where we get him back, it'll be nice to have him back.
Now, a guy you were able to pick up late was Sebastian Zolotta from Sioux City, and I think that's a name that kind of flies under the radar, but if you look at his statistics last year, hitting in a not-so-friendly hitting ballpark in Sioux City, I thought he put up pretty decent numbers, and he's a young guy. What are you looking forward out of Sebastian Zolotta?
Yeah, he did a nice job for them. Again, it's a pitcher's park, and 11 home runs, 20 doubles, whatever it was, and in camp so far, he's looked good. He's done a nice job, and but again, this is a difficult process because there's no exhibition games. You just have your pitchers thrown to your hitters live as much as you can, and again, this is definitely going to be an interesting season. Again, our spring training instead of 12 days is down to 8 days, no exhibition games, and all along, you've tried to have the guys be as ready as they can be, and some guys came in great shape and they've been throwing a bunch, but others, with everything closed, gyms closed, fields closed, guys really haven't, been able to get into places to get their work in and throw, and so it's a 100%. It's just a different situation this year, and again, but we like the guys that we have here, and again, we're a few days away from starting.
How do you see that playing out with the pitching? Do you see guys just being on a strict pitch count and getting them built up, or do you think some guys can get to 5 innings right off the bat? Or
well, you asked Eddie Medina wants to pitch 9 innings the first day, so some guys are a little bit farther than others, with their pitch count. Some guys are up to 100 pitches right now, and some guys aren't, and we just got to be smart with it, and we'll see how it goes, but I would say you don't see too many guys the first time through throwing more than 5 or 6 innings.
No shocker that Eddie Medina is ready to go 9.
He's ready to go. Yeah, he's thrown once and he's looked good. So, but again, it's tough. We got to be smart with these guys, and you can't be throwing a guy over 100 pitches the first game. We would never do that anyways. But again, some guys try to talk their way into that.
You talked a little bit about, the challenge of the dispersal draft and trying to see who was available. How has the minor leagues releasing all of these guys improved or helped your chances of finding players, if it has at all?
Yeah, obviously with all those releases late, again, it's a tough situation. Some guys just don't want to play, and some guys waited, but they had to get on with their lives because they need the jobs, and some guys have families, and it's just crazy how it all worked out. And again, we're still trying to do a couple things here, and hopefully we can get something done here before the season. But they changed the rules this year, and with no rookie rule, no vet rule, and the league's great the way it is. It's great, and we're happy that that happened for this year because it's an unusual year, but it's not as easy as people think it is, where we're just going to get 22 AAA players. It doesn't work like that. You have a salary cap, and you have to be able to fit everybody under the cap. And again, there's some guys are so fed up with the whole situation and waiting around that they just don't want to play anymore. And and some guys, the guys that do want to play, you have to be able to pay them and fit them under the cap. And it's been a little bit more difficult process than we thought it was.
Well, as you kind of prepare for this season? Entirely different type of ballpark is the Birdcage. How do you kind of build your pitching staff or prepare the team for a ballpark like that?
It's both teams have to pitch in it, and, you know, if we were playing here, which we hope we're playing here, you know, sooner rather than later, you just don't know what's going to happen. I mean, look what happened with Chicago. Obviously, when we came into this, we know us Winnipeg and Chicago, it was going to be tough for us, and then Chicago one day just got it. They're allowed to play at home, so that was great for them, and we hope it's a good sign for us. And but wherever it is, if it's in St. Paul or Sioux Falls, you go get the guys that you want and try to get the best guys you can. And obviously, it's a hitter's park, and you better keep the ball down there, or there's going to be some high-scoring games like that last year when we went there in that four-game series, and there were like 100 runs scored. It was crazy, but. Guys got to keep the ball down. It doesn't matter where it is.
Have they said anything to you about what the protocol would be? Like, let's say on July 15th, you guys get approval. Can you be back in St. Paul on the 16th? Is there a...
I don't know. We're just waiting for them to say, hey, you can come back and play, and we would be so excited. And but again, I'm not really sure how any of that works. I just know the day they tell us you can come home and play, we'll be excited and we'll come back and play.
Now, I'd like to ask you a little bit about Brady Shoemaker retired. Obviously, he had a big moment for you last season where he kind of got in the clubhouse when the team was not playing up to standard, and his speech kind of turned the season around for the club from what everybody's reporting. How big of a loss, or how do you try to replace a guy like that coming into the season, especially with all the kind of craziness going on?
Yeah, Brady, he's, obviously we had him for a few years here and one of the greatest guys you can ever have on your team and great guy to have in the clubhouse and a great player. He's come up with so many big hits for us over the years and you want guys like that on your team and guys listen to him, guys believe in him and, you know, the first half of the season things were up in the air for us and even coming down to the last month, we didn't know which way it was going to go. Fargo was great, and Chicago was really good, and Winnipeg was really good. And but the last 3 weeks, I believe we went 17-3 down the stretch against really good teams. It was a great run that the guys went on, and you know, and he was a big part of it, and so many guys contributed. And then we got into the playoffs, and that was an incredible, incredible way we came back over and over and. Brady hit some big home runs, got some big hits to get us back into games, and he's definitely a guy that you love having, and we'll definitely miss him.
I think what stood out for me with Brady, too, was the guy was a gamer. I know there was a lot of times where he wasn't even close to 100%, but you weren't taking him out of the lineup. You wanted to be in there, and you wanted to play, and I think that's, you know, I think that's a kind of a silent leadership. You know, it's not a rah-rah speech. It's leading by example, and I thought Brady was good at that also.
For sure, that was him. He didn't say much. He was a quiet guy, and, you know, the few times he did say something, people listened. And but you want players to play the game the way he does. He'll play hard. He'll do whatever it takes. And great to have guys like him, you know, on your team.
Is there any feeling of... I mean, I'm sure it's disappointing, but do you feel like kind of the championship that you had from last year has been a little, some of the luster has been taken off by not being able to raise that flag and celebrate it to start out the year?
Well, hopefully we get to do it. Hopefully we get back here pretty soon and we get to do it and we'll take it. It was so exciting and so great to, you know, to get that championship. It's been a while since we won one here. We've come close so many times and to get it, it was great, and obviously we would have loved to, you know, have that ceremony here in May, but it didn't work out that way, and we're hoping that it happens here sometime in July. But what a great last month of the season, a great little playoff run, and it doesn't matter what level you're at, if you're in the big leagues, little league, our league, it's hard to win a championship, And again, especially in our league as well, because our league gets better and better every year, and it's loaded with AAA and AA players, and our guys got it done last year, and can't wait to get those rings and have that ceremony on our field.
How much time did you take to really relish the accomplishment before it was time to get back to business, so to speak?
You know what? You enjoyed it the whole offseason, and it's been a while since we got there. We've been in the playoffs many times, been in the championships, and again, it's a tough thing to do, but it was a great offseason until all this started with the COVID-19. We kind of ruined it for everybody, but there's so many people around that are struggling and hurting over this, and again, some teams don't get to play, and all the teams across the country, all these minor league teams, and just don't get to play, so we have it better than many others do, and can't wait to get back out there and in the major leagues. Hopefully they're here starting here in the next few weeks, and I don't know, it's been rough. There's no sports on, and it sounds like we're going to be the first ones here on July 3rd playing, and it'll be great to see some baseball again, see some sports again, and hopefully you guys are watching.
So we had Butch Hobson on. He said he was doing a lot of fishing to kill time during this whole thing. What have you been doing to kill time, or have you just been kind of fidgeting, just waiting for the call?
Not much. I'm not the most exciting guy. I don't fish or do any of that stuff. And it's been rough. You can watch Netflix. You can watch whatever you want, all those shows, but that gets old. And but again, we got through it, and we're glad to be here, and can't wait to get started on Friday.
Yeah, you tell me. I'm just about caught up on Curb Your Enthusiasm. I just started season 10.
There you go. Well, you run out of shows to watch. There's so many you try, and it gets old. This has been crazy, man. Just being inside and not being able to go anywhere, and you can go to the grocery store, but that's really about it. That's where it's been the last few months, and it's just been rough for everybody.
This is a chance to hype your favorite show for us, George. That you got your hat and everything there. So
I do have it. I do have it. Well, even that show, The Blacklist, you can even watch that so much. It's just, you just want to get out and do stuff and get on the field. And again, we're going to be on there soon. And again, we've had a few practices. But it's going to be interesting season. There's no exhibition games for anybody. And again, guys haven't been able to be on the field for months getting ready. It's such an unusual year, and hopefully nobody ever has to go through this ever again.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, George, I want to ask you about this in terms of going out, reaching out to players right now, because I would say the last 2 years, the job you've done of rebuilding the roster on the fly every year has been amazing. I think 2 years ago, there were only like 18 of the 23 guys that started the season were on your roster at the end. Last year, you made a lot of great moves as the season was going along, especially when you lost the majority of your starting staff to affiliate ball. Is that, as you're reaching out to players and saying, hey, come and play for me here in St. Paul, do they get, that because you've had so much success and rebuilding teams on the fly like that, that you become the right kind of guy for them to go and maybe even rejuvenate their own careers?
Yeah, you know what? When word gets around, there are several guys that have heard how great our place is, and it's a great place to play, and teammates that they've played with in the past, and guys can't wait to get here. And but then there are a lot of guys on the other end that are just so fed up with it and just don't want to play. And again, we do have a salary cap. It's tough to fit everybody. And again, when I heard that, there's going to be no vet rule, no rookie rule, and you can do whatever you want, and okay, the league's going to be even better with loaded AAA rosters and double, it's really not the case, because you can't pay everybody. You got to have to try to fit them all. And so it's been a difficult process, but you look around the league, these teams in our league, there's some pretty good rosters, and lineups look good. And again, even the dispersal draft, there were a couple questions like, why we only took a few guys and this and that. And again, it was a blind draft. Didn't know if you were going to get any of them. The only thing you could do is you can ask the managers who was going to play, and the guys we took, they were going to play, but then some guys wanted to play closer to home, and then some guys just weren't crazy about the situation. And so It's just an unusual thing, man. It's a crazy thing, and obviously we could have taken more guys, but you know, lately we've signed quite a few pitchers here lately, especially, and we kind of knew that was going to happen, so that's why we just didn't take more players in that draft.
As you look at the team now, where do you feel the strength is right now heading into the season?
Well, you know, we've talked about this before. On paper, you like the pitching you have on paper. You look at these guys and the years they've had, and you feel that this guy looks good, this guy looks good, and it's the same with, you know, with some of the hitters as well. And but again, I learned long ago, it doesn't matter what your team looks like on paper. They have to go out there and do it over and over, and it's a new year every year. And once you get started, you can throw it all out, what they've done in the past. None of that even matters. Guys have to go out and get the job done. And but again, you look at the bullpen, you feel you have a solid bullpen. You look at the starters, you feel you have some solid starters. And but again, year to year, you just never know. And we'll find out here soon enough.
Well, George, we appreciate you spending a little time with us today. And Kevin and I want to wish you and the Saints good luck heading into the 2020 season.
Okay, thank you guys so much, and we'll see you guys out there, okay?